Okay, everyone, we're getting into an ad, and this one is Skims. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or the quality, but luckily the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. You've probably seen them all around. They have cropped silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees. There's a style for everyone. You guys, I have the cotton jersey t-shirt and it is so good. I've just been wearing it on rotation. I'm finding it hard to actually go put it in the laundry because I just want to keep wearing it over and over. I also have the Skims soft smoothing t-shirt, which is the most flattering t-shirt I have ever worn. Usually for me, a t-shirt is more casual wear, but this fabric is so smooth. I just will wear it to the dog park and then literally dress it up and wear it to date night.
Peyton loves her Skims. She loves everything that she has that is from Skims, so take her word for it.
So shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Peyton and I have been using Daily Harvest and we absolutely love it. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of gluten, fillers, seed oils, added starches, and sugars. It really takes the guesswork and effort out of eating food I know is good for me.
Typically, sticking to healthy habits involves eating repetitive, dull meals. However, Daily Harvest offers a wide variety to choose from at any time of day, making it a breeze to maintain those healthy habits. I really have been loving the butternut squash and rosemary soup. It's been my go-to for lunch, and I love having the dragon fruit and lime smoothie post-workout. It's so refreshing and filling, yet nutritious. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/husband to get $30 off your first box, plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/husband for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/husband.
And seriously, go check it out. I love Daily Harvest and I know you will too.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
What's your 10 seconds today?
My 10 seconds today will be we finally got a couch.
Finally, you guys. We haven't had a couch for like 2 months.
She's not lying. Yeah, it's been almost
3 months.
We ordered
it in October.
Yeah.
Beginning of October,
right? And we got it this week.
Yeah, we've been sitting on our rug every single day, so I never knew how much I would appreciate a couch.
But we got one.
Yeah, we did. We just want to say thank you to everyone who has signed up for our Patreon. It's so much fun. And if you have any questions about that, it's just Murder with My Husband Patreon. You can Google it or you can go to our social media and click the link in our bio and it will take you to a thing where you can select our Patreon. It's super fun. So if you want to check it out, go ahead. Okay. So for our case this week, Garrett, I don't know if you've seen, but on TikTok, there is a true crime case that is just blowing up. No one's talking about it. They're just telling everyone to go check it out.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. I've seen multiple people be like, if you want to have your mind blown, go watch this 2020 case. It's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all they would leave it at. But I've seen multiple people talk about it. And then The comments are like, oh, this just threw me for a loop, da da da. And so I was like, okay, I have to like check out what everyone is talking about. It's been the hype.
Okay.
And so I got on, I like searched the 2020 and I realized I know the story. I know this 2020 story, but I thought I would share it for everyone who's listening since everyone's talking about it. So you can be in the know too.
What do you mean? Like, you know it as and you've heard it before? You've done research on it before?
No, I've heard it before.
Okay.
And I mean, it's definitely a doozy.
Huh.
Okay. So this is 2020 season 43, episode 7. Our case starts in Council Bluffs, Iowa, which is a city but sort of has a small town feel. It's quiet, rural community near the border of Nebraska. Out on the edge of the city is a huge park named Big Lake Park. It's around 200 acres, has many small ponds and lakes in it, lots of hiking trails, lots of like toys for kids. It's like a beautiful park.
Mm-hmm.
On December 5th, 2015, a young woman was walking Big Lake Park alone. It was nighttime, dimly lit, but she was just trying to get her time in by herself. She stopped at a bench along one of the walking paths, and while resting for a second, she was approached from someone behind her. She turned around and saw a woman standing there with a gun. The woman told her to get down on the ground, and when the young woman did as she was told, the perpetrator shot her in the leg and then ran off into the woods. The injured woman waits until she feels like the gunwoman isn't returning, and then gets up to walk the path back to her car where she had left her cell phone. She calls 911 and lets them know what had happened. Police respond by sending a helicopter over the park in hopes of spotting the suspect, but they have no such luck. Now we are going to rewind to roughly 3 years earlier in 2012, Omaha, Nebraska, which is only about 10 minutes from Big Lake Park. So although it's two states again, it's they're very close. A 35-year-old man named Dave Krupa is working as a mechanic. He's just your average Joe. He was recently separated from a woman named Amy Flora. They had been together for 12 years, had two children together. So this was the first time in a long time that Dave had been on his own. He moved to an apartment in Omaha in 2012, got a job as a mechanic, and brainstormed about how he was going to go about dating again. He liked dating, he liked women, he knew he didn't want to be alone, but it had been so long since he had done this. Dave Krupa decides that he's going to try online dating. It hadn't been around much the first time he had started dating, so he thought, eh, why not? It seems like this is what everyone was doing now. The first girl that Dave meets through online dating is a woman named Liz Gollier. Liz's full name is actually Shanna Elizabeth, and she was a single mother of two children who were around the same age as Dave's.
Do you know what site he was using for online dating?
I don't. It sounded like multiple, honestly, but they didn't specify which sites.
Okay.
Liz owned a company called Liz's Housekeeping, and her Instagram was full of cheerful selfies. Dave and Liz decide to go on a date together and hang out at a coffee shop. They get along well, they have fun together, and Dave was upfront from the beginning about what he was looking for. He didn't want to jump into a commitment very fast. He wanted to have fun casually and spend time together. But with this attitude came excitement. Dave wasn't only having this fun, casual relationship with Liz. There was also Mary, Kathy, Joyce, Beth, Margaret, and Sandra too.
So because of online dating, he was playing the field, I guess.
Sexual relationships with most of them. I think Dave was kind of engaging in like a rebound lifestyle. He hadn't, you know, been able to date for so long that when he did, he just he dated everyone. And plus he was a parent with every girl that he didn't want commitment. Like he wasn't lying to them. He was saying, I'm dating other women. This is just casual for us. And they all agreed.
How old is Dave again?
He is, at this point, I think 35, yeah.
Okay.
So 6 months after meeting Liz and casually hooking up with the other women, Dave is working at the car shop when a young, attractive woman walks in. This was the first woman that he had met face-to-face instead of a dating app that he actually felt he had an authentic connection with.
Okay.
Her name was Carrie Farver. She brought her Explorer in to get worked on, and there was an immediate spark between the both of them. Carrie was a 37-year-old single mother to a 14-year-old boy. She worked as a computer programmer. She had grown up in a small town in Iowa, and she had a lot of friends, her mom being her best friend. After meeting Dave at the shop, Carrie told her friends about him, says that he's not typically her type, but there was definitely a connection between them. Dave goes home and finds Carrie's profile on a dating site and asks her out because they had just hit it off.
Wait, so he didn't get her number or anything?
No, but he goes home and searches and comes across her on the dating app site.
Okay. I guess I was trying to decide if that's weird, but probably not. I mean, it may be if
and for all we know, this pretty. Could be Instagram. I mean, we don't know.
Exactly.
It's just online
meeting.
Could
be Facebook.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Okay.
But they both say there was like a strong connection from the beginning.
Okay.
So they go to Applebee's for their first date and it's good. It's successful.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm a Chili's girl. I don't know about you, but maybe I'm definitely like Chili's over Applebee's.
I wonder if there's less Chili's in other parts and more Applebee's in other
maybe,
parts.
Yeah, maybe. Because, I guess I feel like we have more Chili's here than Applebee's. So anyways, Carrie ends up back at Dave's place that night after their first date, and she is the one to let him know actually that she's not interested in a boyfriend girlfriend situation.
Oh.
She just wants this to be a casual romance type of thing. And Dave's like, perfect. Like that's exactly what I'm looking for, and I really like you, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
This is all well and good. The date is going amazing according to him. Dave gets up to walk Carrie to the front door and say goodbye. She walks out of his door, and not even 10 seconds later, there's a knock at Dave's door. Mm. So he's like, what? Gets back up, answers it, and is stunned to see Liz standing there.
What?
The girl he was casually dating at first. She had come by to pick up some things that she had left at his apartment.
Oh, okay.
It was a little awkward because Liz and Carrie had ran into each other in the hall.
Oh,
and
they did.
Like, I'm going to that apartment that you just came out of type thing.
Oh, and that's so weird.
I'm Liz.
Do you think they both recognized it? Do you know?
Yes, but it wasn't like that big a deal, right? Like, this is Carrie's first date with Dave.
Okay.
And I mean, they introduce each other, but it's just like a 10 second thing. Like, oh, whatever. Yeah. But you know, nothing was committal. So it's not that big a deal. 2 weeks later, Carrie was working on a big project at work and spending lots of time in her office. Her office was only a couple blocks away from Dave's apartment, but actually a full hour away from where she lived. So she was commuting, but it was super close to Dave's house.
Okay.
So Dave offers his house to Carrie, hopefully making, you know, the commute easier. Yes, they had only known each other for 2 weeks, but they had been hitting it off. They were comfortable with each other. So he gives her a key. And she accepts. She's like, okay, I'll stay here for a couple of days while I finish my project. On November 13th, 2012, Dave gets ready for work and leaves around 6:30 a.m. He gives Carrie a kiss before he heads out the door. While at work that morning, Dave receives a text. It's from Carrie. She tells him that she would like to move in together permanently.
What? They've only been together for like...
Not even together. They've only been dating.
Dating.
Yeah. So Dave is taken aback. This was out of left field. They had talked about this. They had talked about not moving in. Plus, Carrie was the one who said she didn't want to be committal. Like on their first date, she's the one that said
Well,
that.
Well, also
They don't know each other. Exactly. And Dave is like, duh. Uh-huh. So he texts her back and reiterates his stance. I don't think we should. We don't really know each other. I'm not really interested in moving in together. Carrie immediately messaged back saying, fine, I hate you. I don't want to see you. I'm actually dating someone else, swearing at him, cussing. Yes.
What?
The whole nine yards. So Dave is confused. Like, that's an understatement. He's like, what the heck? This literally didn't make sense. It wasn't like her. And that morning, she had been just fine. Like, he had just kissed her and walked out the door. And now she's flipping out on him.
What in the world?
So Dave goes home. Carrie's stuff is no longer there. She's gone. He doesn't see her. A couple days go by and Dave hears nothing from Carrie either until one night she randomly starts blowing up his phone again. The same stuff. I hate you. You ruined my life. You mother effer. I don't want to see you. Like all over again.
I think it might be time to block her number.
Yeah. So Dave is a little less confused at this point and more relieved.
Yeah.
He felt like he dodged a bullet. Like what if he'd gotten to know Carrie and then this true side of her had come out? Like later down the road, you know? So he's like, okay, I think I like dodged a crazy here. I'm backing up. Carrie had become pregnant at 22 and the relationship didn't work out. So she had raised her son alone.
Okay.
With that came sadness and depression. And eventually she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. It was a hard time, but she eventually got a good job and then life started to turn around for Carrie. And then she met Dave. So this was all leading up to when she met Dave. She texted her mom and arranged to have her son, who is now in high school, stay with her so she could spend some days at Dave's home, which was closer to work. Mm-hmm. That same day that Carrie had freaked out on Dave while he was at work, Carrie had also texted her mom to let her know that she had decided to just take a job in Kansas. So not only did she text Dave in 180, she texted her own mom, who was taking care of her son at this point
and because said,
she
was taking a job in Kansas.
And said, I'm taking a job. Yes.
She's obviously a liar.
Yes. Well, her son vouches for her and he tells grandma, no, like this isn't weird. Mom was talking about taking a job in Kansas. So he kind of like vouches for her. Like, I don't think there's anything weird going on. Maybe she just decided, you know, to go through with it. Mm-hmm. Carrie's mom asked, you know, okay, that's fine. Can you call me? But she never hears back. Carrie told her son, like texted her son and said, I'll be there in a couple days. We're going to go to my half brother's wedding and then I'll get you and we'll go to Kansas. The day of the wedding came and went, but Carrie neither showed up nor called. So now her son's just living with grandma. Like Carrie's missing, has freaked out on everyone in her life. And so Carrie's family officially decides to report her missing.
This is weird. I don't have any questions so far, really, because it's just weird.
It's just
like
weird.
This whole thing is.
And that's weird. Why I think everyone on TikTok was like, you need to go listen to this case. So during the report, Carrie's mother mentions that Carrie had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but had talked about working her way off her meds because life was going good. She had met Dave, everything. Police tell her, you know, people who have bipolar disorder and go off their meds. We see these type of situations play out, erratic behavior disappearing. So like, we don't think she's in danger or anything. We think she's an adult and she's just decided to do her own thing.
Yeah.
Carrie's mom is like, okay, well, I can tell the police aren't really taking me seriously, but the police are like, listen, Carrie's been in contact with you.
Yeah.
Like, she's not even fully missing. She's been texting you. She's been texting her son. She's like, we can't really consider her a missing person. So back to Dave. The text messages from Carrie haven't really stopped. They are foul-mouthed, calling him names, talking about how bad of a person he is. Like, jealousy and rage fill the messages. Carrie starts to bring up Liz in her messages, the girl that she met in the hallway that day.
Okay.
You know, why was that girl coming to your house? Like, da-da-da-da-da. And at the same time, Liz reaches out to Dave to tell him that someone named Carrie was messaging her. And like talking about Dave. And so no, she's like, what way. The heck? Yeah.
All right. It's time to get a restraining order. Yeah. And
yeah. So she asks Dave, how did Carrie get my number? Like, who is this girl? Dave's like, I don't know. I just dated her for 2 weeks.
How did she get her number?
Right. So on November 23rd, 2012, 10 days after Carrie Farver was last seen, Liz comes home from work and discovers that someone had broken into her garage and written whore from Dave on her walls in spray paint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Carrie, definitely from Dave.
Yeah, yeah. So Liz calls the police and files a report bringing up the harassment from Carrie that came to her via Dave, and police pay Dave a visit at work. And Dave shows police the messages Carrie's been sending him, and they're like, oh, okay, so you're not encouraging this harassment. She's just bat crap crazy. And he's like, yeah, she's harassing me too. And police are like, okay, well, like, block her number, you know, do whatever. And he's like, I have. She gets a new phone and texts me.
What?
Yeah.
No
And so
way.
They're like, okay, well, you get a new phone then and change your number. And he's like, well, that's like not fair, you know, like,
but you kind of have to do it.
So anyways, back to Carrie's mom. She's also still receiving text messages during this time, some of them like kind of rude. And Carrie texts her son to let him know, you know, we're going to move to Kansas. I'm going to come get you. Carrie at this point has now missed her brother's wedding, her birthday, Thanksgiving, her son's birthday, and then eventually her father's funeral. Her father dies and she doesn't come to show up for the funeral. So Carrie's family feels like something is
weird.
Wrong. Yeah. So they text Carrie and tell her that they don't believe it's her texting them. They're like, we don't think it's you texting us because we just don't think you would do this.
Sorry, I just had like an epiphany.
I wish you'd seen his face. Go to YouTube and watch this.
So
what are you thinking?
Okay, I'm thinking that, okay, so Carrie's been missing for a while now. Missing. Yes. She's been
contacting people, but she's been gone.
So I don't know if because I don't know anything about the story and I don't want to spoil it.
No, I want you to give me a
guess. I'm thinking that she's gone. She went missing. Someone actually abducted her, killed her, has her phone, and is texting people. That
from
seems,
her phone.
I mean, I know that seems completely absurd.
But this is what her family thinks.
Oh, okay.
So Liz, obviously, and
but
Dave,
then, like, why would she be texting Dave and Liz if it wasn't her?
Well,
like, why would
she's also texting like Carrie's friends?
But she knows stuff. She, whoever has the phone,
yes,
knows stuff that only she should know. I feel like so that's probably not what's happening.
So Carrie's family thinks that's what's happening. Dave and Liz think, heck no, she knows things that. You know, and so, no, it's her. She's just gone crazy.
Okay.
So these two sides are competing, essentially.
Hmm.
So at this point, Dave is actually receiving 60 plus texts a day and over 100 emails a day.
All right. It's time to change your number.
He has. He's changed his number many times, but Carrie keeps getting his new number or whoever is impersonating Carrie, according to Carrie's parents.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. She was talking about Liz, how Liz should kill herself, that she's fat, ugly cow, just horrible things about Liz.
This is cyberbullying to the max.
Oh yeah. She even addresses some of the emails to Dave as if Liz is reading them. Like, oh, Liz, you're so stupid, even though they're to Dave. So it's not really making much sense at this point. The texts start becoming worse, where she would prove that she's stalking Dave, saying, I can see what you're wearing. I can see that you're sitting on your recliner watching this show. And he would be, so that she's like outside his house stalking him.
Oh my, is he telling the police all this? Like, what's going on?
Yes. But the police are like, well, I don't know. We can't find the woman. Like, it's not like we can go to her house. She's not at her house.
But like, if she's stalking him. Like, can you put a cop outside or something?
I don't know. I don't know. And I think at this point, like, Dave just starts to, this is my life. Like, he's just, it's not that big a deal to him anymore. Like, he just changes his phone number. She finds it and it's fine.
Okay.
In January, around 2 months after all of this had started happening, Dave arrives home and sees Carrie's car in his apartment complex parking lot. So he's like, I've caught her. Like, that's her car in my, in my parking lot. So he takes a picture of it and sends it to the police. You have to keep in mind, in Iowa, the police are under the impression that Carrie Farver is just a missing person. And in Nebraska, they think she's a stalker harasser.
Okay.
So police begin searching Carrie's car at Dave's complex. There was a mint container that had one fingerprint on it. Police run it. It doesn't match Carrie or anyone in the database. Carrie is actually posting on Facebook, on her Facebook, talking about how she's not missing. She just doesn't want to come home. People need to leave her alone. Stop reaching out to her. She's an adult. She can do what she wants. And Dave and Liz's harassment is getting worse. But because of this, they begin dating again. Because they start to connect over the fact that Carrie is harassing them.
Okay, got it.
So they would be hanging out together when both of their phones would start blowing up with messages from Carrie. And they'd be like, look, look.
How is that not? I'd be freaked out. There's no way I'd be calm in that situation.
She's crazy. She's writing fake obituaries for them. She actually sends Dave a picture of what appears to be Liz, but it's not, you know, it's just like a woman tied up in a trunk. And she goes, I have Liz in my trunk. You better call her right now and tell her that she's ugly and that you don't like her and you don't want to see her. So Dave calls Liz.
Can they not find her by her phone?
I don't know.
By her phone number?
I don't know. So Dave calls Liz and is like, are you in Carrie's trunk? And she's like, no.
This is so freaky.
So weird. So 9 months after Carrie was last seen, in August, Dave gets a call from Liz. Someone had lit her house on fire. Her children were not home. But all of her pets, her dogs, her snake, her cats died in the fire.
No way.
Yeah. So I will play the audio.
That's horrible.
She's like, oh my gosh, my house is on fire, literally.
From what I've seen so far looking inside, this is pretty obvious. This is an intentionally set fire.
The guy that I've seen, he has a girlfriend that he dated for 2 weeks, and she's been stalking me since November.
Do you know her name?
It's Carrie. C-A-R-I. She won't leave me alone. She will not go away. I just wish she would go away.
2 months later, Dave's auto shop that he works at is vandalized with spray paint that says Dave beats women. It's all along the side of the building, along the road. Everyone can see it.
This has gone from like petty stalking to a whole new level. Like this is like, this is not okay.
Yeah. So Dave purchases a gun. He's like, I think I'm like in danger. The police are doing nothing to help me and I'm scared. Although Dave and Liz are dating, Dave is still actively looking for women to date. But most women that he contacts also get contacted by Carrie. Like he reaches out to someone and then the next day they're like, someone's texting me named Carrie.
What the heck?
Yeah. So Dave has a friend over. And while she's there, a brick gets thrown through his window. And it's a childhood friend. They're not like romantically involved. But this had just become part of his life.
I would go into witness protection program. I'd move houses. Like,
same.
I don't.
Same.
This is scary.
I think about this and I think I used to be like, oh, a stalker. Like, what a cliche idea, right? Like a stalker. But then as I've heard more stories, I'm kind of like, a stalker is scary.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's freaky. Mm-hmm. And to me, it used to just kind of be, like, when I was younger, you know, I'd be like, oh, you have a stalker?
But it's
actually scary.
I guess I understand why some celebrities, like, when they get stalkers, they take it seriously.
It's not
a joke.
Yes, it's insane. So, in 2015, so now we're 2 years after Carrie was last seen.
Okay.
She's been harassing on and off this whole time. Two detectives decide to take a second look at the missing person case that was Carrie Farver. They notice that her texts have spelling errors, which was unlike Carrie, and rarely does someone disappear voluntarily and not spend a dime of their own money. All the money in her bank account hasn't been touched.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, so they come to the conclusion that they think Carrie is dead.
So like what I was saying earlier.
And that someone has been impersonating her.
Okay.
These detectives get a hold of Dave and ask if they can meet. They tell Dave that they don't think Carrie was harassing him and Liz. They think someone else has been impersonating her and that she's either not alive or not roaming around at her free will. Mm-hmm. Dave is stunned. Why would someone even like do that, you know? So police then drop a bombshell of evidence on Dave. A bombshell of evidence that points all fingers to Liz being the person impersonating Carrie.
No way.
Liz, whose house burned down and all of her pets died. Liz, who was sitting with him at the time of getting texts from Carrie.
If she has burned her own house down, I don't even know what to say.
Dave is like,
crazy.
No. He's like, I'm dating Liz. They only ever met once in a hallway before this happened. And plus, Liz wouldn't kill her own animals and burn down her own house, not to mention take pictures of herself in a trunk and send them to me. And how could she send them? I've been with her at times when we've received texts from Carrie together.
I guess I'm a little confused. So if they think it's Liz, would that mean they think it's Liz from the very first text that Dave, the very first crazy text that Dave got, like from the beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what they're telling Dave.
From everything. From the very first time she goes, I want to move in.
Yes. A couple hours after he kissed her on the lips and left for work.
And left for work.
A couple hours later, she sends a text to him saying, let's move in permanently.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Are you mind blown?
Yeah, I'm mind blown.
Okay. If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment, no maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Taking charge of your health means super mindful about what we put into our bodies. Whether it's food or supplements, we are constantly on the hunt for the best options. That's why we can't wait to tell you about Thorne.
Thorne takes a personalized, innovative, and scientific approach to health and wellness with their supplements. They manufacture all their supplements in the U.S. using top-notch ingredients sourced globally. Plus, they team up with leading medical professionals to bring you highly effective nutritional supplements. Whether it's their B-complex, creatine, magnesium citrate, or basic prenatal, Thorne's got all the supplements you need to help promote and maintain your goals. I take the vitamin D supplement because last time I went in and got my labs done, I was lacking a little in that area, so I'm really pumped about that.
With Thorne, we've never been able to question what's in each supplement because they go the extra mile when it comes to quality, manufacturing, and ingredients. In fact, they use such thorough testing and a super clean manufacturing process, they've earned some of the highest certifications in the industry. Give your body what it really needs with Thorne. Go to thorne.fit/husband and use code husband for 10% off your first order. Again, that's thorne.fit/husband, code husband for 10% off your first order.
thorne.fit/husband, code husband. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, we're jumping into an ad real quick. This is Shopify. I personally love Shopify. I've been using it for 7-8 years now since I've met Peyton. I've been using it for so long. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
Whether you're selling sleuthing supplies or marketing mystery merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/husband, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/husband now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/husband, shopify.com/husband. All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy, and even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about, I don't feel like I have all this trauma, you don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it, so it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order, and that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
So the police tell him that they don't have the answers as to why or how Liz is doing this. All they know is that when Liz turned her phone over as evidence during her reports of harassment against Carrie, they collected her text message data to like put it into evidence. And when they went back through it 2 years later, they found a picture of Carrie's car a whole month before police had found it at his apartment complex. So Liz knew where Carrie's car was and took a picture of it a whole month before they found it at his apartment complex. And it's a whole month essentially after she had been missing.
Okay.
So in the middle of her going missing, no one's seen her, Liz takes a picture of her car.
I cannot believe that this might be Liz.
They also discovered that before Carrie went missing, Liz had dialed Carrie's home phone number using *67 like 10 times. But they had only met once, right? In that hallway?
Does *67 still work?
Well, police can figure out who did it. I mean, yes, star. But I don't know right now.
Do you remember in high school, using *67?
I do.
Me too.
I used to call all my crushes using *67.
That's so funny.
And so they're like, why did she call her 10 times anonymously if they'd only met once?
Yeah.
They also collect a photo of a check that from Carrie's mom that had been sent to her by who she had presumed to be Carrie, even though Carrie had been missing. It was a picture of a check. The check was for furniture in her home. So she reached out to her mom. She said, hey, mom, I'm selling all the furniture in my home. This is while she's missing. I'm selling all the furniture in my home. Can you let someone into my home to collect the furniture? And Carrie's mom is like, what the heck? Why are you selling all the furniture in your home? And she's like, it doesn't matter. Here, look, sends her a picture of the check and says, look, I'm actually selling. Here's the check. Can you please let them in my home? I can't be there to let them in. So police collect this check. Guess whose signature is at the bottom as the buyer?
Liz.
Mm-hmm. As the buyer of all the missing woman's furniture.
Liz is insane.
Yes. The last piece of solid evidence they had was the unknown fingerprint in Carrie's car came back to none other than Liz. Keep in mind, this is all circumstantial. They don't even know if Carrie's dead. Like this could just be Liz is a weirdo, but there's no actual proof that she was impersonating her. Like they don't have anything to that nature.
Yeah.
Just that she's acting weird. In December of 2015, Liz Golier talks with police and tells them that she's come to the realization that it might not have been Carrie this whole time harassing her. She thinks that maybe Amy Flora, Dave's ex-girlfriend for all those years and the mother of his children, hurt Carrie and was impersonating her and harassing her and Dave this whole time.
So essentially, Liz blames Dave's ex-girlfriend of 12 years for impersonating Carrie. And then Liz, or I don't know if it's necessary. Yes, it's impersonating Carrie, but also harassing them. Mm-hmm. Liz also tells them that Dave, that gun he had bought, is missing. He had told her that the gun went missing. And she tells police that and says, I think Amy Flora stole his gun.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. So the detective plays dumb and asks if she could give him her phone so they could have the messages, the recent harassment messages. And she's like, heck yeah, you can have my phone. So they take her phone, but instead of just downloading the recent messages, they download every piece of data, pictures, anything that's on her phone, they download it.
So I'm more confused because Liz and Dave were together, but then they were both getting messages at the same time.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure there's an explanation.
So Dave doesn't believe cops because of that.
Okay.
He's like, she's not crazy. She doesn't act crazy.
Like we were together we both got messages.
She killed her own pets for this. You know, she burned her whole house down. Mm-hmm. Just a couple days later, Liz Golier will make a 911 call from a walking trail in Big Lake Park. She will tell the dispatcher that she has been shot in the leg by a random woman who came up behind her.
No way. She shot herself in the leg, didn't she?
So she's rushed to the hospital. Her wound's non-fatal, and she claims it was Amy Flora who killed her. It's quickly determined that Amy had not shot Liz. Liz had shot Liz.
She shot herself in the own leg. That's so crazy.
Analysts are going through Liz's phone as fast as they can at this point. They eventually trace the messages from Carrie right back to Liz, her house, her IP address, her devices. She used an app that would delay messages so she could be sitting right next to Dave on the couch and they would both receive messages from Carrie together.
Okay.
The detectives play on Liz's side. They want a solid case. Like they have evidence, but they want what happened to Carrie. So they ask Liz, like, she just shot you, Amy, just shot you. It's a high chance that she hurt Carrie as well. So can you please reach out to Amy and see if she will confess to Carrie's murder, you know, since she shot you in the lake? Yeah. Almost immediately, Liz comes back to police with proof, an email from Amy that says, yes, Liz, I did attack Carrie. I stabbed her 3 to 4 times in the chest and stomach, and then I burned her body. And then I stuffed her body in a garbage can, and I dumped her in Big Lake Park.
So at this point, Liz really thinks that she's fooling police.
Yeah. She just ratted herself out. And police are like, Liz, you're such a detective, Liz.
Good job, Liz.
Yeah. So they're like, actually, Liz, can you try to get more information, like maybe where the body is, you know?
And so
Liz
is that like, actually what she did then? Like what she said? Is that probably
what she did? I'm assuming. Do you think she just made it up?
I don't know. She's made a lot of things up.
I know. So anyways, detectives reach out to Dave and they're like, hey, we're really trying to get a solid case on this for Carrie. We've been working with Liz, but can you tell Liz that you're moving back in with Amy? Because we think that will push her over the edge.
Okay.
Like, can you just be like, actually, I know you think Amy's the person who's been harassing us, but I'm like, they want to drive Liz crazy.
That's kind of scary.
Even though she already is crazy. So he does it. He literally is like, hey, Liz, I'm moving back in with Amy. I'm worried that Carrie's going to hurt her, so I'm moving back in with her.
Liz is going to freak out.
Loses it. And I'm going to play the tape, the call that she makes to police after Dave tells her this.
Looks like the only person that benefited was her. So she gets to shoot somebody, and then she gets to kill another person, and then she gets to move in with Dave, and she gets to be free. And you guys aren't arresting her.
Like, they did exactly what they thought it was going to do.
That was smart to do.
She sounds like a 9-year-old whose brother got the sucker that she wanted.
Exactly.
She's like,
this is not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair. She's been harassing me. Yeah. And then he gets going to move back in with her.
That's so crazy.
And then they're like, okay, Liz, we understand you're upset. We understand. We're going to need you to have Amy tell us exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So she's like, yes, I'll get that email for you. So Liz turns over another email from Amy stating that the stabbings happened in Carrie's car. So police tear her car apart and find blood on the seat. Like they tear up the whole entire seat and find a huge pool of blood. They match it to Carrie. So that's the crime scene. They've now found the crime scene. police confront Liz, and we'll play a little bit of the interview.
Why would you create all these emails?
I haven't created any emails.
All these have been coming from your house.
And I'm not going to be accused of something that I didn't do.
Liz, we literally have proof on your phone that all of this ties back to you. No, no way. No, it wasn't me. I can't believe you're blaming me. No, Liz, like, we have proof that you used an app and sent this exact message pretending to be Carrie. No, I didn't.
I think she's convinced herself that it's not her.
Yeah. Oh, like in the interview, she is dead set. Like,
wow.
I cannot believe you'd blame me right now. Police find eventually. They go to Dave. They're like, hey, Dave, is there anything else you can tell us about Liz? Like, we don't have a body and we don't have a murder weapon. So it's really risky. Even though we have all this evidence, it is risky to take this and charge her for Carrie's murder when we don't have Carrie or, you know, so is there anything else you can give us? He's like, I don't think so, but go search like my storage unit. So they search the storage unit. They find an old iPad that has an SD card in it. So they take the SD card out, find that Liz's phone SD card old that she had put into his iPad.
Okay.
Which, how did they even find that? I honestly have no idea. But anyways, they take the SD card out and they find on it a picture of a foot. And the foot belongs to a woman.
Oh no.
And it's decomposing. It's a dead body foot. Mm-hmm. And the foot on it has a tattoo of like a symbol. And it's Carrie's tattoo that she has on her foot.
Yep.
So they basically just found proof that Carrie is dead because the foot is decomposing and that it's Carrie because of the tattoo and that it was on Liz's SD card.
Okay.
They also find a camcorder at Liz's house because they search her house and it's Carrie's camcorder that had been stolen like a couple days after she'd gone on the first date with Dave. Mm-hmm. And on it was a video of Carrie, and I can play this for you, but it was a video of Carrie filming herself saying, my Ford Explorer just got vandalized. So a couple days after Liz met her in that hall, she went to Carrie's house and vandalized her car.
From day one, it was.
From day one.
A flip.
Yes. Okay. So they have all the evidence they need. They take it to trial, and Liz is sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but that is the story of Carrie Farver and the tangled web that this was 3 years of police not knowing where she was to catch her for harassment or where she was to find her as a missing person.
Are all stalkers like this? Because this is the craziest stalker story that I've ever heard.
Just the like
the little details. Just this. Not even that. It's what she burnt her own house down.
Killed her pets.
Yep.
She killed, and it was like five pets. It was like a snake, dogs, cats. She killed them. She burned them alive to try to keep
up. How many kids did she have?
Two.
How old were they?
The same age as Dave's kids, but I don't know the exact ages.
Okay.
So that is why everyone on TikTok is talking about this story. A lot of people caught on from the beginning that it was going to be Liz, but I tried to tell it in a way that you wouldn't think it was going to be Liz.
Well, that's why I was like, wait.
Did you think Liz or did you just think another person?
No, I just thought another person. I didn't think Liz at first. Yeah. You did a good job.
I feel like Dave, he's like, literally from the day he's like, it's like Carrie completely switched, like literally 180'd mm-hmm. a personality. And everyone chalked it up to, well, she's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was like worked, you know, against Carrie in this situation.
And I think I would have been like, this isn't going to happen to me.
No.
Like, this isn't happening. There's no way.
And even in the interview, like, Dave, he does the interview, and you can tell he's just kind of like, it was just weird. Like, you know, like, I was getting stalked, but I don't know. Like, I didn't think really anything of it.
Which is, I'm not going to lie. I think that's kind of weird. Like, if I was getting
he's
stalked,
a very laid back guy. Okay. Like, the way he was talking about this was very chill.
Well, he handled it really well.
Yeah.
Because I think I would have been freaking out.
Well, and he kept saying in his head, like, he kept saying, the whole time I was dating Liz, like, casually through all of this, I kept thinking, like, how is she, like, why does she keep wanting to date me?
So
like,
does he tell this story?
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, the story isn't cool.
No,
that's sad. I'm saying
the fact that he comes out and talks about it.
Wait, so time out. Poor Carrie.
Poor Carrie.
She got killed. We didn't talk about that very much.
Literally dating a guy for 2 weeks.
For doing nothing. She didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I did include Carrie's family side of this story, just because I do want to give justice to the fact that, like, Liz did not only hurt Carrie herself and Dave. Like, there was, like, Carrie had a son.
Oh, yeah.
A 14-year-old son who was texting Liz years after his mother went missing, going, "Where are you? Why did you leave me? Why won't you come back and get me?"
That's so sad.
So sad. So heartbreaking and sad. Yeah.
That's probably part of the story no one really talks about.
No. And Liz would reply as Carrie going, "It's okay, little man. I love you. I just can't." Yeah.
Oh, that can't. That.
I know. So this story, although crazy and you just are like, what the heck is wrong with this Liz person, also was just completely devastating for so many other people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like Liz's or Carrie's family, I just feel horrible. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But I mean, can you believe Liz shot herself in the leg?
Oh, yeah.
In her femur bone.
I don't understand how you can shoot yourself.
Just to keep, like, you didn't even need to. That's the thing.
So bad.
She didn't even need to. Like, she didn't need to burn her house down. Everyone was believing it was Carrie. She didn't need to go as far as killing her pets.
Shooting herself in the leg. I don't know how that would.
So she never came out and said, this is where her body is. So they still don't, she claimed innocence. She still claims innocence to this day that she didn't do it.
Is she in a psych ward or is she in prison? Psych ward. Is she like in a...
Yeah, I know, you know what you're saying. No, she's in prison.
Okay.
Which they would have had to evaluate her before they sent her to trial. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, honestly, if her defense team was smart, they would have done the insanity plea.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyways, that's the story for this week, our episode. And yeah, now you can brag to all your friends that you know exactly what everyone's talking about on TikTok. But yeah, please, please, please subscribe if you haven't. We love you guys so much. We appreciate the support. Check out our social media. It will have a lot of images that go along with this case. And also the YouTube will have everything that will be included in this case will be on there if you want to go watch that. It's MWMH Podcast.
And if you have any questions about the Patreon, please let us know. We're still figuring it out and we're still working with it, but everything should be good now.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.